Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, June 15th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
A pathetic, cringing Nancy! Don't you touch me!
Oh, just relax, Mom. It'll be fine. Listen, today we're back with part two of my discussion with the amazing artist who goes by the name of Mike. He's the brains and brawn behind the Mike Men brand of erotic illustrations and comics. Mike is the first of my special Pride Month guests, and he's here as part of the Erotic Mind series, where we converse with noted erotic artists of every stripe in order to uncover something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form. If you somehow missed part one of this amiable discussion, look for last week's podcast number 128 on my podcast page. You'll find that at the top of drdicksexadvice.com, or you can just use my site's search function. Type in podcast number 128, and don't forget the pound sign. Be sure to look for Mike's delicious artwork and his insightful blog on his site, mikemen.com. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my help, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab.
Our marriage is in a corner. I want to pull down the walls. I want us to be free.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. The video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Listen, before we begin today's delightful show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just got to talk dirty for a minute or two. Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because it's voicemail. No human's going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts.
Take your clothes off.
I don't think I can do that right this minute. Okay, on with the show. Hey, Mike, thank you again for joining us. I'm thrilled that you have more time to spend with us because I have so much more that I want to discuss with you. And let's pick up right away where we left off last week. We were talking about what compels you to create erotic art. I want to do a quick follow-up question on that, and that is, do you think that erotic artists are wired differently than us mere mortals?
Wired differently. I'm not sure if I would say that we are wired differently.
God I loves think, you better? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think we're lucky.
Ah.
I think we're lucky people. And what I mean by that is I think that we are lucky that we were able to find that thing that we are passionate about.
Right.
I think a lot of people search their whole lives and never quite get their hands on it.
Right.
But artists are lucky because at a very early age, like what I was saying, before you even know it, it's there, it's coming out of you, that thing that you're passionate about. And we're lucky that we develop it, that we had the fortitude to develop it, not just let it slip through our fingers.
Right.
And lucky that we have, as erotic artists, the strength of character not to give in to the guilt and the shame and,
yeah,
and the bullshit that society, yeah, throws at us. I just think that we're very lucky people to have such a focus in our lives. It's almost like God gave us a focus.
Yeah.
And what a great gift that is.
Yeah. But it would be interesting, I mean, the other side of that coin is that how tragic would it be, and we certainly see these figures in history, where, you know, they have this great passion, and it is, you know, the culture that surrounds them have persecuted them, you know, for having this passion, and thus they are miserable and tragic figures rather than, you know, fulfilled and happy figures.
I wonder if they would think of themselves that way, though.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Would they still think, at least I'm not that pathetic? You know, those pathetic people that don't know what they want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. That is
there
that
might
is
be a
double-edged sword
my door right now.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Gosh. So some erotic artists in this series, in particular, create their art with words. But you've chosen a different path. So let's talk about your chosen media. You work in many different media, yes?
Yes, but primarily the work that I create is digital.
Ah, uh-huh.
Which is still relatively a new... When I was going to school, they really turned their nose down to anything that was digital.
Right.
It was just starting. Mm-hmm. Computers were, I mean, even the graphic designers were still using wax and lead set type and things like that. They weren't using computers yet. And so I was itching, mm-hmm. even as a senior in college, itching to do illustrations on this little box.
Yes.
And over the years, that's exactly what I wound up doing, along with, you know, thousands and thousands of other people around the world that discovered what a great medium this is.
Mm-hmm.
From my standpoint as an illustrator, it's a tremendous advantage to work digitally because you always work and live very far away from where your clients are, mm-hmm. and so you can cut the transportation costs and
right.
the transportation time with the internet. You can just zip it over, you know.
It's
but,
so much more green, too, on top of it, as opposed to film and...
Paperless. I mean,
paper, right.
it's funny. We all just did our taxes, and I'm sitting there going, damn it, why do I have to work digitally? I don't have any expenses. No. It's only so much bandwidth I can take off. But it's... I think it's definitely an emerging art,
right?
To me, I find it very exciting.
Yeah.
But even though I work digitally, I always start out with a drawing.
No kidding. A real hard copy drawing.
Yeah,
no
real hard copy drawing. I don't. I have the drawing tablet, and I use that to finish my work, like the final stages. But I never start out with it. I hate drawing in the computer.
Right.
There's something about what your hand can do that the computer will never be able to do.
Right.
And the quality of the line. And for me, I always keep my drawings very loose, mm-hmm. and then I scan them in to the computer so that I don't have this paint-by-numbers,
right.
stay-within-the-lines kind of roadmap. I always like to keep it loose so that I can always... It just feels more free form, more, I don't know, artsy to me, you know, to let the image develop, mm-hmm. you know.
It's
but,
funny because
yeah.
a lot of the erotic art that I see and stuff that I really admire and like is very structured and very formal. And then I like this, you know, this other very loosey-goosey kind of stuff that you do, and it's wonderful. I'm so glad that people are... have the freedom to express themselves, you know, in one fashion or another.
Yeah, it is a very vast and broad medium to work digitally, and one can take it wherever they want.
Yes.
That's what's so great about it. You can do so many things with it and take it anywhere you want. Each way that you, each person becomes, it becomes very personal to them, and they work in a very specific manner that's mm-hmm. very personal to them, and they come out with a product that
right.
is very uniquely them.
Right.
And I love that.
Right.
I love the uniqueness of each individual person's work.
Because one can identify, you know. I mean,
yeah.
you say, you know, that that's a Mike man as opposed to a Bo or a Briette. That's
you had Benoit.
Yes.
Yes. And, oh, love his work.
I love his stuff, too. Oh, and he's
he does everything by hand.
I know
he does work digitally. Oh, I love his work, though.
Oh, God, yeah, he's so great. And so charming. And
you talk about humor in the work.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely.
That's humor and sex,
absolutely.
I mean, like.
Yeah. We talked about that in
Get
our
back
conversation.
On that phone. What is it? 4 o'clock in the morning in France.
You have to chat him up because he was one of his major complaints was that he felt really really isolated. And I said, for God's sake, you're in Paris.
but this is something that happens with all artists and illustrators you don't get that kind of. Companionship,
right.
you just don't have a lot of people looking over your shoulder telling you what they think, and
right.
you know, it's
right.
very isolated,
yeah.
which is kind of good because we do need our time
yes.
to create what we need to create.
Yeah.
But for me, that's one of the things I love about being an illustrator is I do get to collaborate with the writer.
Yes,
I think that's great.
Yeah,
I get to hear what he's thinking, and I get to add myself into that. And I think collaborations are great. I love them.
Yeah. So that's a perfect segue, actually, for my next line of questioning, and that is, would you hold to the adage that a picture or an image is worth 1,000 words? And your comics and your illustrations don't really have captions, do they?
No, because they illustrate a manuscript, a story,
right,
for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't. I tend not to do the sequential comic, thought bubble, comic art stuff. I really I do like to illustrate somebody else's idea, a story, a thing like that. It's fun to me. But it also, without the addition of a caption or words or something like that, it leaves the image open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So the viewer can pick up whatever they need to pick up from it,
mm-hmm.
And it can stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to always be accompanied by the story.
Right.
It's
universal, too. I mean, you don't have the problems of, translating language and, mm-hmm. idiom and whatnot.
Well, yes. Sex is the universal language. It's like math.
Only completely different.
It's just the same, except completely different.
I love it. So today, erotic artists seem to abound, and although in some circles this genre is still not accepted as mainstream, is that your experience too?
Yeah. It's kind of sad because there is such great work out there,
mm-hmm.
but it's still very... It falls under scrutiny, by the so-called real artists,
mm-hmm.
and the patrons of real art,
mm-hmm.
they don't like to look at it as the same level. I personally think it's right back to the argument of am I a fine artist? Am I an illustrator?
Mm-hmm.
It's all semantics.
Yes.
Art is what art is.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to believe that a beautiful landscape or a still life has any more creative validity than an expression of a common human trait that we all share,
Right.
I think that's the issue that individual people have to deal with.
Right.
They have to kind of tackle whether they're open enough to accept that this is art.
Mm-hmm.
Us more enlightened, wired differently people already know.
Well, I think the discrimination comes from, fellow artists. I've seen it.
It does.
And, they use the word illustrator as a way of denigrating. I mean, it's not
yes.
like, artists and, illustrators. It's artists and, illustrators.
Well, it's the whole, you're a sellout.
Yeah.
You're a sellout. It's
yeah.
like, well, no, I just want to eat.
Yeah.
I mean...
But if you're not working in oil or watercolor, then you're somehow less than it's just, or
right.
if it's digital on top of it, it's just like
my God, digital, geez, sellout.
Yeah. Now, what could be fine about digital art? is what I hear from people. And you know, I just in the same way that, you know, people want to denigrate pornography, you know, at the expense of, you know, erotic art, you know, like the, you know, it's this poor stepchild kind of thing, and which is unfortunate. But you know, I guess there, you know, we often think hierarchically, and someone's got to be on the bottom and someone's got to be on the top, no pun intended. So have you ever been on the receiving end of criticism for the work that you do, and has your art been denigrated by others, possibly other artists, because of its content?
It has. You know, most of my friends, they know what I do, but they don't acknowledge it. I don't. you know, come up with a, like, wow, well, you know, isn't that nice? You know, I think they just think it's just this weird little hobby. They don't view it as art. And yet, if I do a crappy still life, they say, "Oh, who did that? Oh, isn't that nice?" It's a level
still
of
life with penises, though, right?
Yeah. It's a level of taste between people, and it's really a level of comfort.
It's so true.
Because these same people that scream that it's not art are probably whacking off to it when you're not looking.
So true.
It's sex, and sex is always touchy. Mm-hmm. People, oh my God, touchy. You know, they don't want to talk about sex. Most people don't talk about sex in public, and the few that do open themselves to ridicule.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I'm an idiot. I open myself up to ridicule. Yeah. But it doesn't bother me. Because I'm like, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't
bother
me. It's
funny because I'm on the receiving end.
Like, sure.
Yeah, I'm on the receiving end of that myself. You know, like people write in to my site and say, you know, if you were really a professional, if you were really a PhD, if you were really, you know, a sexologist, you wouldn't say cock and cunt. You know, you would say, you know, penis and vagina. And I go, like, why? What's, you know, what different? You know, anyhow, so it's true. I mean, that, you know, the level of comfort. And yet, you know, these same people who are, you know, getting all hot and bothered, they're consuming my product. So, all right.
Exactly.
Whatever gets you off, so to speak, as it were. So is it possible for you as an artist to eroticize something that you personally don't find sexy?
Well, I think I could try. I don't think it would be a very good attempt.
Yeah.
Because if you, as the artist, don't think it's sexy, if you don't feel that spark, I'm not sure it would be. You'd be able to convey it on the page,
right?
Or on the canvas, right, as it were, or whatever.
Right. So that again, that is another universal that I hear from all the artists that I've interviewed so far, again, the authors as well as the fine artists, and each of them said, well, you know, I suppose I could crank out something,
exactly,
but it would be lifeless, and, you know, and what would be the purpose?
Right, and then it's just some image that you made that hides in the back of a closet somewhere.
So apparently, then, you do believe that erotica is directly related to our sexuality, and if it's going to be authentic, it really can't be created apart from our sexuality?
Yes, I really strongly believe that, that the two are so closely linked. And I don't mean that it has to be representational or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I just mean that you have to feel it. It has to kind of come out of that well of sexuality, and it comes out as art.
Right.
And to me, that defines erotic art.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, it's like we said before, it's just this thing that you made, and it's lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really connect.
Right. So there are obvious erotic triggers, such as fetish wear, corsets, jock straps, leather gear, breasts, nipples, penises, vaginas, cocks, cunts, I'd rather say, certain language poses, etc. Do you think that one can sexualize the blatantly unerotic, like nature or food or everyday clothing?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, he says with conviction.
Was it? Robert Mapplethorpe did the beautiful lily.
Oh yeah, the Calla
Lily.
He did this
gorgeous lily, and it's completely sexual.
Yeah, absolutely.
Georgia O'Keeffe.
Absolutely.
Her paintings are of flowers.
Yeah.
Completely sexual. Cunts, There they are.
And they're hanging on people's walls.
And lesbians love them. I never quite understood, but, you know, hey, whatever. No, I think that anything can be fetishized, mm-hmm. because that is the definition of a fetish. It's taking something that's not sexual and mm-hmm. sexualizing it. Mm-hmm. But, and to me, I think some of the most exciting work that I ever see is when they turn the unsexual sexual. I think that's great.
I do too. Turning our expectations on its head. I think it's really
yes.
great.
To me, I remember seeing Catholics out in me all the time yeah. of when somebody is almost fully clothed, say like 97% clothed.
Yes, absolutely.
And that little peak of something else is
yes.
popping out
yeah.
is the most erotic thing in the
yeah.
world.
Yeah, it's so true. Pictures of the Virgin Mary. You know, she's completely covered from head to toe in veil and whatnot, but you can see that she's got big breasts. It's like, holy cow. Mary, holy
yeah,
cow.
Jesus. Yeah, hold it, Mary.
Oh, dear. Do you think, do you like working with a particular body type, or do you, is that your choice, or do you work with lots of different body types?
I like to work with a lot of different body types. I think I have a natural tendency to go for the thicker, wider, beefier mm-hmm. look. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I want to do a pose, and I think that certain bodies work better with certain poses.
Right.
And there's times when a pose is so bendy, flexible that it's like, oh, I think I want to do somebody that's really skinny.
Yeah,
and
right,
that would
exactly.
be really cool, you know, there's just certain. I like to do all different body types, and also for me, the sex aspect, what charges me sexually is this kind of display of power,
right.
exchange of powers,
right.
Giving up power or taking power, that kind of thing. And so I will also reflect that in the body type. So I think it's very exciting to see the skinny guy on top of the
right.
big beefy guy. You
right.
know, it's a flip
yeah.
from what we normally expect things to be.
Right.
But it all depends on the image, the composition, and what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. You know? But I'm
Which
an equal
the,
opportunity.
At least part of the source of your humor, I mean, because you're turning things on its head.
Right. I like to show the unexpected.
Right.
You know, turn expectations upside down is to me very sexy.
Are there topics that you gravitate toward and topics that you avoid?
I do tend to gravitate towards the slightly darker, slightly more sinister,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in that way, slightly dark humor, black humor kind of thing. You know, that again goes back to, you know, this kind of give and take and pull of power,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it lends itself hand in hand with a darker scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I won't do is I don't do violence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for violence mm-hmm. in any form or gore or things mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
There's some artists out there that I absolutely adore.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they do have an aspect of themselves where they have multiple images of this just the most gory, horrific stuff.
Yeah.
I just can't even look at it. Not for me.
Yeah. It's so true. You know,
world is
I find it really
I'm
difficult. It's so true. My sentiments exactly. Not to disparage their work, but that, you know, it's just, I
love their work. I just can't look at certain pieces.
I'm clearly not their intended audience.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do you look for in the work of other erotic artists?
I look for originality.
Ah.
And I look for what I mean by originality is not just the technique and the style, but also what they're portraying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be very exciting if it's something I haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I look for a level of skill.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been trained for a long time, you recognize somebody, the training in somebody else.
Uh-huh.
You know, a good drawing when you see it. You know that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
All it takes is a second to look at it. Oh, yep, they're good. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. You know, and I look for that.
And even if they break the rules, you know that they have had their original training.
Well, that makes it even more exciting.
Exactly.
Because you recognize the training that a formal training will instill in you is a way to see the bones mm-hmm. of a drawing, the bones of an image. Mm-hmm. Even if it's covered up, you can mm-hmm. still see where they started from, mm-hmm. and to know that they like it's like when you look at a Picasso. He could really do everything photorealistically if he needed to. Mm-hmm. He started out, his early work was very realistic.
Yes.
And that's what made the later work so exciting, is he knew what he was doing. And he mm-hmm. deliberately, not because of a lack of skill, but he deliberately mm-hmm. twisted it.
Right.
And into a way that was so raw mm-hmm. and so new and so honest mm-hmm. that you couldn't help but just be captivated by it. Mm. And that's kind of what I do with a lot of erotic art, is I don't like to see the same thing over and over and over again, you know, the same kind of drawings or, you know, you have that one original and then 1,000 knockoff artists, you know, it gets really boring,
right.
But then you get that one thing that's fun and interesting, again, Benoit.
Right.
Prevost. Love it! You know, or Logan in France is another comic artist,
uh-huh.
and although he works in a very traditional comic style, the way he draws and what he draws is so original and so fearless, I can't help but just admire him mm-hmm. greatly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm always looking for something that's new.
Mm. Who inspires you?
Oh, yeah. Artistically?
Well, yeah, whatever. You know, other people must inspire you as well, but...
Well, you know, sometimes the guy at the gym can inspire me. the mailman, you know, the UPS guy comes in, like, a little inspiration.
Oh, yes. Oh, UPS guys, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But artistically,
universal.
You know, I've got my the standbys of Tom of Finland,
right.
Harry Bush. I just got his compilation book that came out last year. It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved The Hun. When I was a uh-huh. teenager, I loved The Hun because he was just doing stuff nobody else would touch.
Uh-huh.
My friend Patrick Fillion.
Oh, yeah.
An original, you know. And then there's more traditional artists like Paul Cadmus and Thomas Hart Benton and J.C. Leyendecker that I, the Arrow Collar guy.
Yes. Oh, good Lord, yes.
Just love.
Yeah.
And they were all so fearless. They all opened themselves up to criticism. They're probably all gay, too. Jesus, mm-hmm. I just realized they're all gay.
Yeah. Interesting, and they were working, a good portion of those people were working at a time when, you know, this was just not done.
Well, yeah, and you know, I relate to people like Paul Cadmus a lot because he was a WPA artist.
Yes.
And his work was... similar, it goes back to what I was saying, when you're doing stuff and you don't even know that it's sexual, but yeah. everybody else is like, hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he was doing these, like, you know, public work projects.
Yes.
That, and you know, some of them were just so sexual, and he's like, what? What's the matter with it? What? Yeah. You know, I love him.
Yeah.
I just thought, you
Thomas
know, he's
Hart
so
Benton, as you just mentioned as well, is
yes.
another very sensual. I mean, you know,
yes.
everyone has that, you know, loosey-goosey movement kind of thing that is just full of sex.
So sexy on his work. It's
yes.
just, and J.C. Leyendecker was probably one of the people that made me want to become an illustrator.
Uh-huh.
It's the Arrow Collar
yes.
guy.
Oh, God, I used to be gaga.
Saturday Evening Post covers
uh-huh.
were so beautiful. And so, you know, macho, that this is kind of rugged man, but
yeah.
all... primped up and prettied and
that's right.
just so beautiful the work.
Right.
And then, you know, there's more like photographers that I get more of a graphic charge out of, like
mm-hmm.
Robert Mapplethorpe
mm-hmm.
and Herb Ritz.
Yes.
And more recently, Joe Opetisano.
Yes.
The way that they can capture, they can turn the figure into just this graphic shape.
Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I found very inspirational in the 80s, going to, Mapplethorpe was in, he had his exhibit in Boston,
mm-hmm.
I think this is right before he died,
yes.
And it was a big controversy, like,
yes.
oh my God, how could you show this,
yes.
and I went,
yeah.
and I don't even remember how I got in, because I was like 16 years old,
uh-huh.
but I went,
uh-huh.
and I was really changed
yes.
by that, because it was the first time that I had ever seen somebody use photography, and it wasn't about the subject matter. It was about the composition, and it was about the lighting, and the people became graphic shapes mm-hmm. in the composition. It was a different way of looking at photography for me that made me rethink what I could do with my own work.
Yes.
And I find that very exciting.
Beyond the people that you've identified so far as your inspirations, do you have sexual heroes, or are these one and the same?
There are some people, Betty Page.
Yes.
I think that she's somebody to be admired.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, there are some people that, you know, definitely... are inspirational to me in the sense that I could probably draw them forever.
Yes.
But those are, you know, like the porn stars that I just particularly are drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I would call them heroes, but they make for great material. you know, my favorite all time is Chris Steele.
Nah, yes.
But Jeff Stryker also left an impression.
So dramatic as they were. See how you do go on, sir. So what does the future hold for you in your work?
Well, I am going to be shown in the new stripped, uncensored compilation book that's
wow.
coming out from Unoka Munder.
Yes.
And it's coming out right now, actually. I can be seen every month in Men Magazine. And I also have a book out that came out a year ago from Class Comics
mm-hmm.
that is just a portfolio of my work.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it.
I know you must be hit up for this all the time, but let me add to that. do you have any advice for aspiring erotic artists or illustrators?
Yeah, let's see. I think if I were to start out again, I would make sure to develop the skills that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Really study art, go to classes, go to museums, you know, look at books, practice every medium
mm-hmm.
because you never know which medium it's going to be that is for you. Try to devour as much as you possibly can before you jump out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look online nowadays, there's a million aspiring artists.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound harsh, but I think there's this kind of overwhelming mediocrity that's appearing.
The
internet tends to be the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you go to a museum, you already know that somebody must have liked it because it's in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the internet's this great equalizer. We're all in the same footing.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to show why would you like my stuff over their stuff, or, you know, I mean, why, if from a business standpoint, why would you hire me and not them?
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that is to make yourself the best you can possibly be,
mm-hmm.
as broad, as open, as developed as you can possibly be, and as fearless. Again,
mm-hmm.
go back to the fearless. Do what you want to do. Don't draw things that you think other people want you to draw. Draw what you want to draw. Just make sure you draw it well.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I've heard from several people, aspiring artists, who have been listening to this series, and a couple of young men have said things like, you know, I feel like I can do this because, you know, I'm so sexually charged. You know, I've got a 24-hour hard-on. Well, that just doesn't translate, doesn't necessarily. You know, I mean,
no, I mean,
being horny all the time doesn't necessarily make you an artist.
You can't work if you're horny all the time. I mean, you know, you need to either have one hand on the pencil and not one hand on your pencil, you know. It helps to be inspired.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to that you know to know if you're on the right track, because you know the little guy down there will tell you,
right.
you know, hey, this is a road to explore.
Yes.
But you know, just because you're horny all the time, I mean, we'd all be artists if that was the case. Every 16-year-old boy is now an artist.
It is so true. Listen, as we conclude, can you give us your website address and walk us around a bit?
Sure. It is www.mikemen.com. And that is where you will find my homepage, a little information about myself, some freebies like wallpapers and screen caps and stuff, and links to my blog, which is always being updated, links to other people's blogs and other people's sites whom I admire, and a buttload of galleries of my work to peruse.
I'll say.
Yeah.
I'm going right back there now.
Are you holding a pencil?
Yes, it's my pencil. I'm going to create some art here soon. Yeah. Just as soon as we're finished. Can we buy your work on your site?
No, not right now. I think in the future I will try to set up a shop. But right now the only place you can buy my work is Men Magazine.
Thank you so much, Mike, for
thank you.
Joining us and sharing so much of your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience. Now get back to work.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
What a fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-for-minute sort of deal. Remember that the pay-for-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty sweet, huh?
Oh, I can't stand this. Look at the floor. Oh, I was quite right not to want kiddies if this is what it's like.
And you would have made a really good mother, too. Listen, before we conclude, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my new product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDicksSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. Once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. I wouldn't want you to miss even one episode. And hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.